from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Welcome to the second half of episode 42 in the 2024 Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be more independent music featured on the SFU Red Leafs hockey with the background and latest on the Surrey Police transition. Today is also my 7th annual Fun Drive Show, where I ask you, the listeners, radio's best friend, to donate to CJSF. What I love about CJSF is that it prioritizes community participation over commercially popular content, where major corporations constantly buy up their competitions, which in turn drastically reduces diversity. On the other hand, CJSF have been expanding its reach during the COVID-19 pandemic with the new studio. With the new studio in SFU's Burnaby campus, where this show is being broadcast, the 312 Main Studio in Vancouver's downtown east side, and a new app that was developed last fall. There are several ways to contribute. Bring your donations for as little as $35 now on cjsf.ca/donate. Call 778-782-2573 or send a check to the following address, CJSF Radio Fund Drive, Sub 1420 Simon Fraser University, Burnaby, BC. Victor 5 Alpha 1 Escort 6. Please help us reach our goal of fundraising $10,000 and beyond. Now to the first song in the second half, which is the third act of the hour. Was supposed to be the fifth group last week, Donny Bennett's Infinite Desires. The tune is So Long.
Sharp tongue.
That was So Long from Donnie Bennett's Infinite Desires. I first got involved with CJSF in September 2008, shortly after graduating from SFU, where CJSF is still located. After 1 year away, I returned to CJSF to volunteer on a weekly basis after private struggles. I started providing commentaries on the SFU men's hockey, which still isn't part of the SFU athletics. Weekly commentaries expanded to weekly shows since May 2011, where sports commentaries often integrated with music and interviews during live shows. My transition to a programmer was only possible due to support from CJSF staff, other volunteers, and the station equipment, as we are looking to replace our antenna and expand our reach through a new app. As CJSF celebrates 3 years in returning to live programming this week, I would like you, radio's best friend, to know when you donate, you're not directly funding my cause, but for the greater diversity that CJSF strives to achieve as we look to expand our space in the SFU sub-building to attract new volunteers and programmers. Please contribute any amount, $35 or greater, at cjsf.ca/donate to help CJSF expand its reach. Any contribution of $120 or greater can be in monthly installments. Now I'd like to comment on the SFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. The BCIHL Red Leafs were in action on October 26th as they hosted the Logan Lake Miners at Burnaby's Bill Copeland. SFU opened the scoring with 5:02 left in the first as Jaden Falchuk eluded Logan Lake's Levi Hall, a left-handed goalie who catches right-handed, for his fifth of the season, and the Red Leafs ended period one up 1-0 on the Miners, outshooting the visitors 12-10. Physical play picked up in the second when Owen Thibodeau also put SFU up 2-0 with his second of the year as he beat Logan Lake's Levi Hall, whose teammates pumped 23 shots on Red Leaf John Aiden, but he stopped all Miners' shots in the second as the visitors outshot the hosts 23-6 for a total of 33-18 after 40 minutes, based on a picture I took from the game. But SFU picked up their play in the third period. As Ben Ruthman had a breakaway on Levi Hall in the first minute, but shot the puck wide. About 4 minutes later, Ruthman went behind the Logan Lake goal, lifted the puck with his stick, and banked the puck off of Hall's right ear for a spectacular Michigan goal, 5:07 into the period. Ben Ruthman scored his second of the night less than 4 minutes later as he one-timed a Max Lifeheit pass from in between the face-off circles past Levi Hall at 8:31 as the Red Leafs opened the four-goal bulge on the Miners, whose Clayton Brown ended John Aiden's shutout bid late in the third with the second of the year on a deflection with 4:28 left in regulation as SFU quad-damaged Logan Lake 4-1, who outshot the hosts 46-33 in the game, based on a picture I took from the game. The third period goal times were from the game's live broadcast on YouTube, courtesy of the play-by-play man Nick Torin and commentator Austin Kosikar.
Hi, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is October 26, 2024. I am in between the SFU Red Leafs dressing room. There's an arena staff holding the Zamboni area right now. And I'm interviewing the head coach for the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs, who quad damaged the Logan Lake Miners despite getting outshot. First of all, what did the team practice in the two-week layoff?
We just kind of worked on our habits and tried to regain positive habits. We have a lot of, the season's still early, a lot of habits are brought in from the summertime, and just kind of focused on more of the team environment and team habits and trying to get those dialed in on the same page. I think to start off, not everyone's kind of on the same page, so just kind of bring everyone together and try to be more of a cohesive group.
Explain how the Red Leafs got dominated by the Miners after getting ahead 2-0 in the second period.
Yeah, I mean, we came out a little bit flat in the first two periods. It's not exactly how we wanted to play, but we stuck to kind of our game plan the first couple of periods, and obviously it panned out. We managed to get a couple of goals, but I think our intensity kind of dropped a little bit, and we sat back after we got the two goals rather than continue to press.
Tell me about John Aiden's play, especially in the second, that kept the Red Leafs ahead 2-0.
John's been great. I mean, he works incredibly hard for the pucks. He battles, he competes, and it shows. Obviously, like he's getting there, and he's making the saves, and he's not giving up on pucks. And that's one of the things we're trying to bring into this team and try to get these guys all on the same wavelength, basically.
Tell me about Ruthven's Michigan goal on Logan Lake goalie Hall's right ear.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty skilled goal, and obviously it takes a lot of confidence to do something like that in a game setting, but that's a prime example of practice. Get the opportunities to the reps and in practice and get confident with that. And again, that comes down to habits, and this is something we stress a lot on. Practice habits and trying to get things, dialed in so that you're confident enough to try into the game. And I'm glad he's confident enough to try that. And obviously it worked out, which was awesome. And that's not his first time he's done that. That's his second time this season already. So,
yeah. Wow. How did that goal change the momentum in the game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty critical goal. obviously it defeats the other team a little bit. You know, they worked hard. I mean, I give Logan Lake credit. Their work ethic is extremely good. And I think, you know, when we put that goal in, it defeats a team a little bit, you know, because they did work hard. They didn't get any results. And, you know, we were fortunate, you know, that John made some big saves. And it's just a tough one for him, I guess. And, you know, we just have to kind of keep moving forward with that.
What do you have to do to win the next game?
Well, first of all, we got to play a full 60. I think, you know, we played half a game today. And, you know, during that half game where we weren't on top of it, we got lucky. And some games you're lucky and some games you're not. So if we're not on top of it, it's a full 60 minutes, then, you know, it's going to be tough playing against teams like Victoria, VIU, where they have skilled players and they are capable of, you know, putting the puck in the net. So definitely something we're going to have to work on. Just play a full 60. Like, mentally and physically, we have to be there.
Finally, when will the SFUBCIHL Red Leafs play the next game?
2 weeks from now. So we got another little lull in our schedule. So not next weekend, but the weekend after. I believe it's the 8th.
Thank you for the interview tonight. Congratulations on the SFUBCIHL Red Leafs 4-1 win over the Logan Lake Miners. And good luck on November 8th.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Hi, once again, it's Steve Chong. I'm now closer to the SFU Red Leafs locker room between the main entrance and the Zamboni Gate. And I'm interviewing Ben. Scored a Michigan goal where a player brings up the puck and banks off the opposing goalie's left or right ear. This time it was against Logan Lake's backstop Hall's right ear. First of all, tell me about the last 2 weeks where the SFUBCIHL Red Leafs did not have a game.
The last 2 weeks, we've just been really focusing on getting everything dialed in from our set plays, our passing, and just to our cardio as well. We've just been working hard and staying focused.
Explain the team play going down after getting up 2-0 in the second period.
Honestly, I didn't think our team had the greatest start today. We were kind of lucky to get up 2 goals. But I think once we got that third, once I scored that third goal, we really got going and it gave our team some energy.
Now, tell me how you scored that Michigan goal, which I originally saw on TSN back in 96. But tonight was the very first time I saw one live.
It's very cool. Yeah, I've been doing Michigan for probably since minor hockey, like Adam, I think. So it's nothing new for me. I've done it quite a few times, but it's always exciting when I get to do it. Yeah.
For context, a Michigan goal is when a player brings up the puck on their stick and banks it off of the opposing goalies, either right or left ear. Tell me about your second goal, which you scored right after the Michigan goal.
That second goal, honestly, all the credit goes to Max Lightfoot and Alex, my line mates. They're both working really hard. And, Max made a great play to evade their defender and slip me the puck, and I just shot it as quick and as hard as I could on that, and it found its way in the back of the net. So,
what adjustment did you have to make against Logan Lakes Hall, who is a left-handed goaltender?
Yeah, I had a breakaway earlier in the period as well, and it's always weird coming down on a southpaw. My usual preference, like where I like to shoot, is blocker side, but since he's a southpaw, that's his glove side. So I got a little bit mixed up. But yeah, it's always an adjustment working, shooting with the southpaw.
Now I'd like to delve into your hockey journey. When did you start the game?
I started around the age of 4 and played every year since then.
When was the first time you made a travel or a rep team?
My first big league travel team would be Major Midget out of Greater Vancouver. That's BC EHL now, I believe. And that was when I was 16, I believe.
What team did you play for before coming to the SFU BC IHL Red Leafs?
Before coming to Red Leafs, last year I played for the Granby Steelers out of Burnaby, Granby Winter Club. And then just before that, I played Richmond for the Richmond Sockeyes. I had a great experience at both programs and really enjoyed my junior career.
From what I understand, PIJHO is a junior A league due to the BCHO defecting from Hockey Canada. Finally, what would you like to accomplish with the SFU BCIHO Red Leafs this season?
I would love to make it as far as I can into the playoffs, have a good winning record, and just enjoy my time here and get to play the sport I love with a good group of guys and stay active.
Thanks for the interview tonight. Congratulations on becoming the first star in the SFU BCIHL Red Leafs 4-1 win over the Logan Lake Miners. And good luck on November 8th.
Thank you.
On October 30th, the SFU Red Leafs non-conference team announced the game against UBC, scheduled for November 23rd at Burnaby-Spill Copeland, but got canceled due to unforeseen circumstances. But the SFU Red Leafs non-conference team plays tonight as they host the Maryville University Saints, based in Chesterfield, Missouri, and compete in the American Collegiate Hockey Association's Division I at Burnaby-Spill Copeland. The puck drop is at 7 p.m. Here are the current BCIHL standings. 2 points are awarded for a win, with 1 point for an OTL loss. Vancouver Island University is first at 4-0-1. Simon Fraser, second, 4-3-1, 6 points. University of Victoria, 2-0-1, 5 points. The Logan Lake Miners, fourth, 2-3-1, 5 points. And the Okanagan Lakers are last at 1-3-2, 4 points.
Sit, stay, donate. Fun Drive is here and we need you, radio's best friend, along the way. Donate now at cgsffundrive.ca or text donate to 778-782-2573 and be radio's best friend.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It had been the most polarizing topic in Surrey for the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19th. 2023. However, Locke's fight did not end right away, as her two petitions against the BC NDP government for a judicial review on being forced to continue with the SPS was rejected on May 23, 2024, followed by her acceptance of the court's decision on June 10th, and culminated by an agreement between the BC NDP government and Surrey City on July 10th. according to a BC government news release. Surrey will receive $30 million a year to 2029 when a financial guarantee of up to $20 million if the SPS salaries are higher than the RCMP may kick in and continue until 2034. For a total of up to $250 million, Surrey will fully support the transition to the SPS and not impose a police tax in the next decade. In addition, according to the BC government news release, the SPB budget, originally requested at $141.5 million, fits within Surrey's financial budget and will hire 526 officers by the end of 2024, 67% of all Surrey police officers. All of this week's developments were from Twitter. On October 28th, the SPS deployed 19 more officers to Surrey's frontline policing, joining over 250 SPS officers already deployed. On October 29th, the Surrey Police Board held their meeting where they went through numbers up to September based on the agenda produced on October 25th. The SPS incurred $70.87 million in expenses up to September 30th, with $61.3 million being spent on salaries, benefits, and board compensation for 411 sworn-in members and 54 regular permanent civilians, with another 7 temporary civilians, as the SPS had 472 employees in total. On October 30th, the SPS joined RCBC, Transit Police, BCRCMP, and Surrey Crime Prevention Society at Strawberry Hill Bus Loop for the RCBC Pedestrian Campaign. The SPS also released their findings on their second community consultation, where priorities were police visibility, community engagement, and timely response. Furthermore, on October 30th, the SPS recognized 40 officers in their 2024 awards and recognitions ceremony tweeted by the SPS on Halloween. Today, the SPS will be at South Surrey Arena for its recruiting section that supports the Surrey Eagles, the defending BCHO champs, as they host the Langley Rivermen, as tonight is Punjabi night. Currently, according to the SPS transition page, these numbers are as of yesterday. There are 445 sworn police officers with 362 men, 361 men, 84 women, with 73 civilian employees. So the total number of SPS employees are now 518. The SPS is slated to become Surrey's POJ on November 29th, 2024. Thank you for listening to episode 42 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. It's been almost exactly 3 years since I have returned to live programming at our new station in the SFU Student Union Building. That's on top of the 312 Main Studios in Vancouver's downtown east side, both of which were created during the COVID-19 pandemic, no less. We need your help to keep CJSF community-oriented with more independent music and grassroots voices for now and beyond. You can go to cjsf.ca/donate or call 778-782-2573. While one-time donations can be as little as $35, any amount, $120 or greater, can be in monthly installments. For reference, a two-zone compass card from TransLink is $143.50 a month. You can also send a check to the following address, CJSF Radio Fund Drive, Sub 1420, Simon Fraser University, Burnaby, BC, Victor 5 Alpha, 1 Escort 6. Higher donations will help us reach our goal of fundraising $10,000 quicker. Coming up at 4, it's Voice of the North.